children. What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, Mothers and Fathers Aligned, Saving Kids. Kids of any ages, any stages. Prevention, prevention, prevention. Mask offers a helpline for referrals, support groups. If you need a therapist, a doctor, a psychiatrist, a mental health clinic, inpatient, outpatient, call Mask. You can call anonymous at our confidential helpline, 718-758-0400. Mask is in its 21st year. Over 48,000 families that have been in touch to get their loved one the help they need. Let's not wait until it becomes a huge out-of-control issue. Call for prevention. Call when your kids are in elementary school. Call if you see they're being bullied, if they have possibly depression, an eating disorder, whether they're touched inappropriate. We can no longer sweep these issues under the carpet. Pick up the phone. Maybe write down our number for your friend, your neighbor, someone you sit next to in shul. Our number again, 718-758-0400. Tonight, I am very privileged to have with us an amazing guest, somebody that I don't even know how he has time for everyone always, and that is the well-known Barry Hurwitz. Barry, I'd like to welcome you. Barry is the director of the Courageous Journey Therapeutic Services Program. He is in the field more than 20 years. He also he worked at OHealth for many, many years. Barry, I really want to say yasher koach for all the work you're doing out there for prevention, intervention, treatment, and assessment for the klal, people that are suffering with so many different issues. Kol hakavod, Barry. You've been really amazing to Mask and all the agencies. Always say Barry Hurwitz is the go-to guy when it comes to molestation. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Welcome.
Rucham, I have to tell you that that hearing that intro, first of all, not only is humbling, but it really sends chills down my back. I was thinking when we discussed the possibility of speaking on the topic of child sexual abuse prevention, and number one, my thought was, anytime I have the opportunity to get out of the office and on a proactive level, and with an individual representing an organization that has been hand in hand with my efforts, really leading Klal Yisrael in getting the word out about some of the pain that that our kids, our teenagers, and even our adults who have suffered from abuse have gone through. It's really amazing. I don't mean to belittle this or to over exaggerate this, but I don't come here representing myself. I really think that I come here representing the people in my office who have shared their incredible stories of pain, but also of courage. And me being here allows them the voice that I really truly feel that they deserve, and for too long they haven't had. So, Rachama, you know how I feel about Mask, and you know how I feel about the fact that if only we knew 2 decades ago just what a preponderance of sexual abuse prevalency there are amongst those kids and teenagers who are having difficulty. You have told us that right from the start, and I think we're first starting to listen more and more. So I appreciate the opportunity to be on the program today.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much. We've had so many shows on this topic. Unfortunately, a topic that everyone needs to be aware of, speak about, have conversations with family about it, in school, in bungalows, in camp. It's not just, oh, camps, you got to be careful, your kid's going to camp. It happens in your home. It happens Shabbos afternoon. It happens when you go on vacation. You leave your children. There's so many times during the year. So I wanted to have you on, Barry, to talk to the parents and help the parents learn to talk to their kids early on. Give them some language. Explain to them. I mean, here a parent finds out their child was molested. They freeze sometimes. They're terrified. The pain, the fear of a child experiencing all these frightening feelings, a parent can freak out and they don't know what to do. So some of the parents pick up the phone, they call MASC. They call other organizations that are available today, not like the last 20 years, but today there are many organizations and therapists that are very well trained. Don't go to a therapist that isn't trained in this topic. Parents, listen clearly. Don't go to just any therapist. I'd like you, Barry, to talk about what kind of therapist should they see, and give us some tips, some language that parents can use when they're confronted in such a frightening, devastating experience of trauma.
Rahama, that's an incredibly important question. I mean, oftentimes when parent or community member, but let's say parent, for the sake of this conversation, finds out that their child might have been hurt in such a powerful, painful way, it's critically important that a couple of things happen. Number one, as basic as this sounds, take a deep breath and believe the child. Believe the pain of the child. Provide them with the opportunity to express what had happened, but without peppering them with many, many questions. Remember, if something did happen, the child's going to be pretty scared, pretty nervous sometimes to open up about it. So giving them support, hearing the story without asking too many questions, and then a key component is two other pieces. Number one, making sure that they're safe. That if there's perpetration that is happening, or if there's the possibility of perpetration continuing, that means keeping them in a safe place. If law enforcement needs to be involved, then of course we do anything we can in order to keep the child safe. As it pertains to getting therapeutic help for the child, it's also important to make sure that a therapist is involved, but that it's a therapist who has some real, real good background, real good experience and training in the specific area of care. There are a lot of misconceptions that a lot of times good generalists might end up having that a specialist would really, really know not only what to ask, but how to pace whatever questions might come up, how to help the parents as well. So it's incredibly important. And how do you find that out? Is to really vet the therapist, and that's okay. So speaking to an organization such as MASC, who has sadly and fortunately experience working with therapists, will be a good resource, and whatever other resources are available, making sure to also ask the therapist questions such as, how many years of experience do you have in this area in particular? What type of background in terms of training do you have? I know it might feel uncomfortable at times, but this is a very, very important step of the process.
You know, Barry, that's very important because so many parents call the helpline and they say they got a name from a next-door neighbor or someone else in the school or their rabbi. And it's so important that you verify the names of the therapist that you're trying to go make an appointment by, because not everybody is licensed and well-trained or supervised. So that's very important. Can you please explain why the conversation needs to be casual? Because we find that when the parents freeze and they're nervous and they're concerned and they start asking so many questions, so it sort of shifts the victim into, hey, maybe I'm part of the cause, maybe I'm guilty, maybe, and we don't want to shame them or make them feel guilty. So can you help us understand why it needs to be open, ongoing, casual, eye to eye, etc.?
Rahama, you're so right about that. You know, a child who's disclosing, oftentimes we have to keep in mind that, for example, the vast majority of kids won't disclose because of so many different reasons. Either they feel guilty, or they've been pressured about it, or they've been made to feel as if they're an active part in that. Particularly sometimes adolescents or very, very young kids will have that concern. And so them opening up is such a fragile process that paradoxically, if we ask too many questions or we show too much intensity in response, it'll oftentimes freeze the child or, in the other way, lead them, God forbid, to be saying more details, some things that that they're not even 100% sure about because they're really working through everything in their mind. We believe what they're saying, but we give them a good, healthy, calm environment to disclose at the pace they feel comfortable disclosing and in the way they feel comfortable disclosing. And then, as you had said so importantly, then we consult with a therapist who really very much is knowledgeable in this area as well. I'd like
and
to bring up one piece.
I'm sorry.
Rahama, if I can, I know I'm a little bit passionate about this piece. Oftentimes, we're also going to be giving messages that seem right, but that accidentally might end up causing more confusion for the child, like, for example, I'm so glad that you spoke about this. Now everything's going to be okay. It's going to be difficult. So instead of now everything's going to be okay, it's I'm so happy that you spoke about it. Now we could do what we can in order to keep you safe. Also, a message that when it comes to prevention, which I guess we'll get to in a minute, but that oftentimes we send the message of, nobody should, no one's allowed to touch you, and that's really the essence of the message. But that we send. Unfortunately, individuals who engage in these behaviors oftentimes have decades and decades of experience engaging the child. Oftentimes, the perpetrator has a lot invested in making sure he doesn't get into trouble. He's also sometimes 20, 30, 40 years older than the child. So by sending a message preventively where the core message to the child is make sure nobody touches you and it's not okay for someone to touch you, that's another example of accidentally us putting the child into a position that if, God forbid, something were to happen, there's a heightened level of guilt. Oh, my gosh, I learned not to let it happen, and now I let it happen. Instead, a message of, which we can speak about more, a message of nobody has the right to touch you in a way that makes you feel uncomfortable. And if something were to happen, know that it's not your fault, and you should always come to us.
Very, very important. We have with us Barry Horowitz talking about molestation and prevention. And again, our number is 718-758-0400. Anyone that wants to speak to Barry and make an appointment to speak with him, please call MASC 718-758-0400, and we will connect you with Barry Horowitz, who has more than 20 years of experience in this unfortunate but most needed to talk about topic, molestation, sexual abuse with children. We're talking about prevention today. And Barry, I would like to bring up something that's just as uncomfortable under this topic, umbrella of this topic, and that is incest. Can you educate our families about the issue of incest for prevention?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a large topic. I guess let me just mention a couple of things on that topic. When we talk about prevention, that's really the message that nobody has the right to touch you in a way that makes you feel uncomfortable, in a non-sneous way or in a place that's your private. That's important because research says that up to 40% of all abuse takes place at the hands of a family member or extended family member. And so the old adage of stranger danger, this is something that Debbie Fox reminds us a lot about as well. The adage of stranger danger is really, really well-intended, but it's misguided. Recent numbers say that up to 90% of all molestation happens at the hands of someone the child knows. And again, up to 40% or more incest. So we have to be very careful about the intended or unintended consequences of the messages that we send. Along those lines, of course, we have to be careful not to be overly alarmist, right? In other words, most kids are going to be live a good, healthy life, and most kids are not going to be faced with this. But we have to, we really do have to recognize that that is a subcategory of abuse that we see much of.
Very important. Very important. But parents out there, they're really surprised when I meet people, when they call, and, you know, we're not talking yet out there enough about the incest issue. Yeah. So we need to be aware that it is happening in very, very, very large numbers.
Yes.
Very
large numbers. In particular, adolescents engaging in these behaviors towards younger children, younger siblings. That's, we see a disproportionate, anecdotally, we see a disproportionate amount of phone calls coming in along those lines. And that's something that Dr. Pelkowitz, David Pelkowitz, oftentimes speaks on and writes on. The realities of adolescents engaging in these behaviors as well.
Yes, these are such uncomfortable conversations that we all need to have with our children, our grandchildren, but they must get done, and we cannot make them feel bad or guilty or victimized again once they do go through. Unfortunately, if anyone does traumatize them, sexually abuses them, then when they do come to the parent, please, please react as calmly as you can. You heard what Barry said, that the calmer we are, then the child will not then shut down, and they'll react well, they'll feel safe, if you make them feel safe. There are some books out there, Barry, right, that parents can offer for children to read?
Yes, there are some very, very good books. Because of the sensitivity of the books, it might be a good idea, if I may punt this, that they could certainly give me a call, because everyone has a different level of of comfort in terms of which types of books would, they would feel comfortable with their children discussing,
right.
Based on cultural and or religiosity and the lashon and the language. So I think it's that's something that I'd be happy to field questions on in a more private manner.
Okay, and while we speak about books, Barry, we have on our website, maskparents.org, we have a book list on all different mental health topics, including sexual abuse. So you can go on to www.maskparents.org, and while you're on there, please donate online. You can help in continuing the services that Mask offers to the thousands and thousands of families and having the radio shows. So
yeah.
Please go on to our website, maskparents.org, and help partner with Mask in saving lives. Barry, tell me about, is there a difference as a therapist, your experience over the years, the mom or the dad speaking to the child? Is there a difference?
That's a good question. I think it's more the temperament of the individual and the way in which the message is presented. You know, one of the things that that parents oftentimes ask me is how do we discuss it? The truth is even more important than discussion, which we're getting better at knowing how to discuss it, right? Using teachable moments. No one has the right to see, you know, the theme of secrecy. No one has the right to secretly touch you in a place or ask you to do the same, right? Which is important because a lot of times abuse is one way versus the other, or show you inappropriate pictures. You know, and also who would you tell, right? If you're not comfortable, if you're not ready to talk to me, who would you tell about difficult situations? A cousin, a teacher, a coach, a rebbe. These are messages that in presentations I get into in much more detail. But we know these. What we're surprised to find out about is that prevention is much more about the what we show within the house, how we set up, for example, healthy boundaries within the home, physical boundaries within the home. Is it okay that kids push each other at times, or is the body of the individual to be respected? Modeling healthy privacy, that already when the child is young, you know, when they go to the bathroom, when they get ready, you know, that they can close the door to the bathroom, or that people knock before entering, or that even though it's cute to do, we don't read the diary of our kids. That's modeling healthy boundaries, healthy privacy. Modeling health, discussing healthy, difficult situations if they come up, if there's a grandparent who's not doing too well, or if there's a sibling who's having a tough time with studying, or something along those lines. And the reason for that is because that's the true prevention, and research is showing us more and more that that's where primary prevention happens, because a perpetrator will not usually go from 0 to 100. They'll move forward a little bit at a time. They'll watch for the reactivity of the child. And if the child is used to having healthy boundaries within the home, if they're used to having their privacy being respected within the home, if they're used to being able to be assertive, for example, then there's much more of a chance that the potential perpetrator will pick up on that. Now, they might end up turning towards others, but for the sake of our own kids, It's oftentimes tell an inappropriate joke or sit a little bit too close. If they see some reactivity from the child that, hey, wait, this isn't so right, then there's more of a chance that they won't engage in those behaviors. And then finally, if they see that if something does begin to happen, and again, I can't stress this enough, if something does begin to happen and a child is able to tell us, well, we now know that PT, rates of post-traumatic stress disorder, high depression, suicidality is much lower if a child can turn to the parents and say, hey, this is what's been going on. So those are the messages. The unspoken messages are oftentimes the most important messages that are passed along from parents from older siblings, from schools, from camps, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, Barry, again, it's modeling healthy boundaries, talking about safe touch, comfortable and uncomfortable, being approachable, very important, being approachable, answering questions accurately and respectfully. That's also something. Sometimes a child asks us a question about something we're uncomfortable about. We need to be able to name our body parts when they're asking already a question. Of course, every family in their own way, but yes, we cannot just, you know, ignore it, because the more you're comfortable talking about it in a sneistic way with them and explaining to them how to have safe touch, etc., then there'll be less issues, God forbid, if they're faced with a perpetrator facing them to sexually abuse them. So clarifying the rules is so important. Barry, one last thing before we go. You know, a parent says, okay, bye, listen to the babysitter, do whatever she tells you to do. What's that answer that the child thinks in their mind when the parents didn't listen to whatever the babysitter says to do?
Yes, yes. You know, our, at the end of the day, our kids are, still look to us in terms of the intended and unintended messages. And so even something as benign as that, you know, I know that with us, with our kids, what we'll do is we'll pull them aside before. We'll say, behave, you know, in other words, act right. But then we always speak to them afterwards and tell them not only how did you behave, but how did the babysitter behave? And I think that's very, very important.
Harry, I know somebody once said to me that the family has a code word. And I'll give an example. There are pickles in the fridge if you want. And that's the code word where parents tell kids before leaving their house with a babysitter or with strange, you know, camp or grandparents, whatever it may be. They say, don't forget, if you're going home, there are pickles in the fridge. Or if you want a pickle, let me know. You know, like a joke about a pickle, so that that's their code about, don't forget, let's stay safe, and it's okay to talk to us. So, Barry, I really want to thank you again for making the time right in the middle of your day. I know that in your days, you have approximately 24 hours in every 12-hour shift, because I don't know how you have time for everybody. You never say no to people. So I want to say, yashar koach, thank you on behalf of not only myself, that you're always there, but also for all the MASC staff. I want to thank you for being on with us tonight. Hope to have you on again.
Thank you, Rahama. It means a lot to me.
Thank you. And again, our number, 718-758-0400. And I'd like to wish everybody a very good evening and a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you and good night.
It is time when bold knights and bawdy wenches gather to feast and frolic. It is time when the royal court and naughty courtesan mix and mingle. It is time for the New York Renaissance Fair. Come, shed the weight of today and step into our legendary realm. See swords flashing in the sun, hear the ring of steel, and feel the excitement as knights on horses thunder into the arena. Join in the revelry. Shop exquisite crafts and savor your choice of fine food and drink. Join us in the joyful festivities at the Renaissance Fair. Real people, real food, real fun. Live it up at the New York Renaissance Fair. The New York Renaissance Fair, open Saturday, Sunday, and Labor Day Monday, August 4th through September 30th in Sterling Forest, Tuxedo Park. Buy discount tickets online at renfair.com. Performance schedules, menus, and more at renfair.com. Children admitted free this weekend. Coupons at renfair.com.
KZN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.